And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Just, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Kevin from Huntsville checking in. He is our brand new texter. Appreciate you. He's talking about Stan McDonald was apparently involved in a local football team. He says, I'm one of the coaches. And his boys played the first couple years, too. Yeah, appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you very much. Mark from Red Bay says, tried to pick up a package at the post office without a photo ID. It's not going to happen unless they know you personally. That's so true. Listen, for business purposes, my office, we had to contact the IRS yesterday to verify some things. I have to go through the whole, have anybody seen Real ID? Have you seen that thing? Or ID Me, ID.me?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's biometric. They have to take a picture of your face and send it. You have to go log in. It takes a picture of your face. Then you have to take a picture of your thumbprint. Then you have to take a picture of your driver's license, front and back. And I mean, I finally said, do you want the birth certificate, you know, the birthmark on my left leg too? What is happening right now? And then, you know, all it is I want to know, we got to mail out 1099s for people. Can we just please? Well, I'm sorry, sir. We're going to have to talk to you about this. You need a real ID. I'm like, stop it. I've been in business now for 15 years. Who did this? Anyway, and people are saying we can't vote.
Yeah.
Brian from Huntsville says, if you're too ignorant, not stupid, to get a photo ID to vote, or ask for help, then you should be too ignorant to vote. Well, now. You know what, though? Jasmine Crockett's in office, so apparently there's not an intelligence quotient involved with voting. Gary from Lester, Alabama, says, most Democrats are what they accuse their constituents of being. Well, there's that. Oh, right before that, he had said, isn't it treasonous to release sensitive info to the public regardless of how you received it? Don't know the answer to that per se. I think it's certainly an ethics violation at the very least. Lynn from Knoxville, Tennessee says, I've been in Tennessee for 8 years. They've always required ID. Nobody whines and complains. There you go. Thank you, Lynn. Paul from Athens, Alabama says, it's funny, they can get a photo ID to get SNAP or welfare or commit fraud for SSA benefits, but they can't get a photo ID to vote. If you can't prove who you are, then you don't need to vote. Yeah, what he's talking about there is the argument is always it will disenfranchise lower income voters. And that's such a crock. I mean, it really is. Okay, enough of that. Let me just move on. I got this. This is the White House's issuance of last night's executive order. And Trump points out in the opening to it as to the purpose and the policy that they're enacting. It says, despite pioneering self-government, the United States now fails to enforce basic and necessary election protections employed by modern developed nations. Points out that India and Brazil are tying voter ID to biometric databases. Germany and Canada require use of paper ballots. Denmark and Sweden limit mail-in voting. And yet, we don't do any of those things. And we're supposedly the leader of the free world. He says, free, fair, and honest elections unmarred by fraud, error, or suspicion are fundamental to maintaining our constitutional republic. He also points out how many states, and this drives me crazy, like when did it become an election season? Like, you could start voting. Early voting begins, well, we start early voting 2 years out. I mean, good Lord.
If they're early voting, then that's just when the voting starts. Like, how is it early voting?
Just go to voter day.
You're voting. Like, it's like, oh, they're getting in before, like, they're voting early. It's like, no, they're just, like, that's just when the voting starts, apparently, you know.
It's nuts. The other thing that they allow, too, JP, you've seen it, I'm sure, is how many states allow the ballots to be received past election day.
Yeah.
And then they go with, sometimes even without any concern about the postmark. So it's just, I mean, it's gross. So federal laws, they point out here, prohibit foreign nationals from registering to vote, yet states also fail to adequately to vet their voter citizenship. In a little while, we heard from Secretary of State Wes Allen about measures he's taken to fix that. So here's where it gets into the order. Within 30 days of the date of this order, the Election Assistance Commission shall take appropriate action to require in its national mail voter registration forms A, documentary proof of U.S. citizenship. B, state or local officials to record the type of document that was presented to get the citizenship certification. And those documents used can be a U.S. passport, requirements of the Real ID Act, which is going to be like a star ID, that kind of stuff, or an official military identification card indicating citizenship, or a valid federal or state government issued photo identification. And so on and on. It's got a few other things in here, but the reality is they're saying what you can do, and they're giving us plenty of time to work it. I guarantee it's going to court. Just stand by. But then he also says, we will also provide other assistance to states verifying eligibility. In other words, he's ordering right now the Commissioner of Social Security to make sure that they scrub the database so that if a voter roster in Alabama has someone who is not listed as deceased, but Social Security shows him deceased, they can compare. The Attorney General also enforced compliance, which leads me to the next page, because there are adding serious emphasis on the prosecution of election crimes. The Attorney General shall take all appropriate action to enter into information sharing agreements, and these agreements shall aim to provide the DOJ with detailed information on violations. And then they go into the, oh yeah, we're going to prosecute. And then it gets into the idea that if you're not going to do this, states, guess what? You may be losing some federal funding. Lots to talk about. Coming up next, Brian Taylor, former state senator, talking to me about being a lawyer in a recent election malfeasance case. I'll tell you all about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to get you all the way to go home time today and to the weekend. So stand by. Listen, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper here talking about election matters. Not just that elections matter, but election matters themselves. What is happening with the elections? And you saw last night, we talked about it at length a little while ago. President Trump signed a new executive order last night dealing with election integrity. In this case, it's going to be largely centered around the idea of proof of citizenship for federal elections. We've got photo voter ID in Alabama, which when I was in the legislature, we helped pass. It has worked quite well, despite all of the liberal fear-mongering that somehow it would disenfranchise a whole swath of voters because they aren't smart enough to get a photo ID, and yet we fixed that for them. But listen, I cannot say enough about why voter integrity, or election integrity matters at every single level. The smallest town in my district when I was in the state senate was the town of Ridgeville, where, if I recall, the mayor won by a vote of 19 to 12 to be a mayor. And the reality is, if there had been voter fraud in that one, I believe they still would have cared, even though the town had a vote of 19 to 12. Well, listen, I got a friend of mine, Brian Taylor. He's a former state senator. We served together in the Alabama legislature. Brian also was a candidate for the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama. He's a practicing attorney. He's a former Army officer, a JAG officer. And he's also, like I've been in the past, he has been representing someone in an election dispute, which has been dating back to the 2022 election. He's on the phone right now. Brian Taylor, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, Phil. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Sorry for that extra long introduction there. But listen, man, you've been representing a client who ran for sheriff in Conecuh County. And it's just crazy to me that you've got a case dating back to 2022, which is just going to trial recently. But it's also strictly involving potential discrepancies in voter count. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, I tell you, well, this initially was not my case. I got a call from the party last September asking if I would jump in and take it over and get it back on track because it had just stalled. It's not really clear why it stalled, but the judge had never set a trial date, and so it just wasn't moving along. So I jumped in on the case in September, and this deals with a general election in 2022 for sheriff of Conecuh County. When the votes came in on election day, when the provisional votes were counted after election day, it was a tie vote. Just about a couple thousand votes each, but it was a tie vote. And so in Alabama, as you know, Phil, that triggers an automatic recount.
Yeah.
And so the canvassing board, which is three elected officials in the county, meets and they consider those ballots. They recount those ballots. In Conecuh County, a lot of people wouldn't believe this about Alabama, but as you know, in some pockets of Alabama, still very heavily Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
So all three elected officials of the canvassing board were Democrats. In fact, one member of the canvassing board was the contestee or the respondent in this lawsuit, the sheriff. He was the one being challenged by the Republican who is our client. So they replaced him on the canvassing board with, I believe it was the county commission chairman, who was also a Democrat. And they held the recount, and they certified the Democrat sheriff, who was the incumbent, as the winner by one or two votes. We're not really sure because the testimony at trial conflicts. We presented testimony from a poll watcher who was also the Republican chairman for the county, and she testified that the probate judge jumped up at the end of the recount and announced a one-vote difference in favor of the Democrat incumbent. However, the probate judge has testified it was a two-vote difference. So that in and of itself is a conflict. But, you know, we introduced enough evidence at the trial so far that I think to overcome whatever the vote difference is, we've got pretty clear evidence that the Republican, hands down, should have won that race.
Okay, so listen, for folks who are playing catch-up on this, first of all, the sheriff's race is actually a really big deal. It's a constitutional figure in the county, which has a lot of power. And so you've got a guy who was running against a longtime Democrat incumbent and tied him. And then when everything's said and done, he's down by one, maybe two. All right, but you presented evidence at trial, which is a matter of public record. I know you've already had, you had a day of trial, let's put it that way. But you presented evidence, like live testimony of people saying, that's not my ballot, I'm not the one who filled that out.
Right, and in our investigation leading up to trial, we had an investigator who interviewed a number, a dozen or more absentee voters, or folks who had absentee ballots cast in their name, who actually told the investigator that they never voted in the election.
Wow.
And when we went through the ballots, there were a couple of names, Phil, that showed up time and time and time again, ballot after ballot, as a witness. So that indicated to us that there was some degree of ballot harvesting going on.
Yeah.
Now, ballot harvesting, as we know it today under Alabama law, was not illegal in 2022, but I'm talking about the kind of ballot harvesting where somebody comes along and votes your ballot for you, turns it in. You never actually cast a vote, but the party or some candidate, the machine gets that vote for the candidate, regardless of whether the ballot was legal or illegal. So it's our job in the election contest to present evidence that the ballot that was counted for a candidate, for the incumbent sheriff, the Democrat in this case, was not a legally cast ballot. And just as an example, we had one witness come to the stand. She testified that she did not vote in the election. She testified that some girl came to her house, got her ballot, left with the ballot. She said, I did not vote in this election. She was unequivocal about it. That testimony was absolutely uncontroverted. And because it was uncontroverted, as you know, it has to be accepted by the court.
That's right.
As the truth. There's no basis for the court, no reasonable basis for the court to conclude otherwise. So we had that.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you real quick, Brian. You talk about uncontroverted evidence, but I'm reading an article from 1819 right now about this particular trial y'all had. And what I'm hearing is in the article is that the incumbent didn't even put on witnesses. So you guys brought in a case in chief, and the incumbent never even put on a witness of any kind. Is that right?
That's right, and we haven't even closed our case yet. So we subpoenaed a number of witnesses, including the witness who we believe was collecting ballots. They did not appear at trial in violation of those subpoenas, and we've asked the judge to compel their attendance at the second day of hearing, the second day of trial. But out of the blue, we got this order yesterday just dismissing the case.
Wow.
And declaring the incumbent Democrat sheriff the winner based, and this is what's crazy, Phil, based strictly on the probate judge's word about the recount certification.
Stop it!
There was no certification of the recount. There's nothing on record showing what the recount vote total finally was.
Look, you've got to measure your statements because you're still technically before that court with a right of appeal. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's a jackleg ruling right there. That is absolutely, you don't have to affirm or deny. That's a jackleg ruling, brother. That is a judge who just acted sua sponte without having any grounds to do so and is probably plainly and palpably wrong with an abuse of conduct or abuse of discretion.
Well, we're going to ask the judge to reconsider that and hope that he'll see our point and that it's reversible error. If the judge is not inclined to correct that error himself, we'll appeal it. And I think, like you said, I think it's a pretty good case on appeal to just there's no basis for the ruling at this point in time. Not only that, but the document that the probate judge says was the result of the recount 2 years ago actually has a date of that it was printed of March 6, 2 days after the hearing in this case.
What?
And the judge has accepted that document. So we have a document produced after the hearing that purports to be the certified result of the recount, and it just came out of nowhere. It was 2 days after the hearing was presented to the court. And the court has accepted that over our objection. So we have a number of grounds to appeal the case, a number of grounds that we're going to call the judge's attention to and ask him to reconsider.
Listen, man, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to make sure that I don't go above the speed limit through Conecuh County. and this does not affect my love for Conecuh sausage, but that is a sausage-making courthouse down there, it sounds like.
Well, now this judge, Judge Kittrell is actually, as I understand it, has a pretty good reputation. He's a retired judge. He was specially appointed on this case 2 years ago by Justice Tom Parker in Alabama. The Chief Justice appoints special judges to hear these type cases when the local judge recuses, as happened here. So, I'm going to keep the faith that Judge Kittrell will agree with us and see that the decision was erroneous and untimely. At best, it was premature, and we'll see if we can fix this before we appeal it. And if not, we're not afraid to go straight to the next higher court.
Well, real quick, brother, with about a minute left, obviously you're neck deep in this thing and you care and you've got a client whose interests you're going to zealously pursue, but you've also been an elected official yourself. You've run campaigns, and I know you've seen it at all levels. But would you agree that election integrity matters, and no matter what level we're at? That was a gimme question.
Yeah,
by the
look,
way.
You hit a lot of people. It's tempting to say, man, this is a sheriff's race in a small county in Alabama. Who really cares? What's the relevance? It is absolute. We have to remember this could have happened in Conecuh County in any race. The sheriff's race was just one race on the ballot. What if this had happened in the governor's race or a U.S. Senate race? You have to have election integrity in every race, or the system just breaks down. And more importantly, and what this case demonstrates, is that you have to have an independent judiciary.
Yeah,
this is a Democrat judge who's hearing this case, and I think he understands. At least we're going to help him understand that he needs to look at this from a nonpartisan, independent perspective, and he needs to call balls and strikes. And if we don't have a judiciary that stands up and renders fair, impartial, and independent judgments, then we can't have an election integrity in this country. And if you don't have election integrity, you don't have a country.
No, it's exactly right. So well said. And listen, I think it's also fair to point out there are laws that allow the challenging of a ballot count, and that's what you're doing. And, after 2020, everybody said, you can't challenge that. Yes, you can. The laws of every state have the means and methods by which you can legally challenge the results of an election.
That's right. And we're going to argue we still have the right to put on evidence in this case. We haven't rested. The judge has not even examined some of the election day ballots. You and I just talked about absentee ballots, but there were ballots cast on election day that improperly marked that need to be assessed by the court as to whether they count as a vote.
God,
I hate to bring it up, but it goes back to Bush v. Gore and
determining
voter intent. Yeah.
Hanging chads. Oh, man. Well, listen, man, I got to leave it there. I ran long just trying to get all that in, but great job on your part. Stay in the fight and keep us posted on this, and we'll have you back on for an update when the time comes, all right?
Will do. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, I did run long. We got to go to a break. Let's take the break right now, JP, but I hope y'all are hearing this. Y'all, that's a county in our state where we have some of the best voter laws in the nation, and it still looks shady as crap, and it's right here in Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, so I'm still in this section on election matters. And coming up here in just a moment, we're going to have Alabama's Secretary of State, Wes Allen, coming on with us. I mean, he's had some big doings going on. Number one, he has a press release about Trump's executive order. And then he also most recently had a lawsuit that was, you know, the Biden administration suing him has been dropped. And then, oh, by the way, he also has helped pioneer a interstate database so that states can compare their voter rolls to make sure if somebody moves that they don't get counted in two states. He's done some great stuff to clean up our voter rolls. We're going to talk to him about all of it. Secretary of State Wes Allen here momentarily. I got a couple of text messages to see right now. Phil, do you have any? I don't. That's roughly in asking me about a trial about a police officer. No, I don't. Roughly in. I don't have anything on that right now. So sorry, I can't help you there. That is one I've looked into in the past. So I need to figure out what the latest is on that. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, just remember when Alabama became a red state, all those Democrats didn't just disappear into the ether. They just changed their affiliation. It's hard for a leopard to change his job. There's that. Yeah. And by the way, some of them didn't even change their affiliation. They're just still out there doing what they do. But yeah, this is huge, y'all. And I told you there was a town in Alabama, and I got to look back and see, was it Uniontown, Union City? I've forgotten the name, but I want to say it was in the 2010 election. And the voter rolls were counted, and allegedly like 112% of the town turned out to vote. Did you catch that? 112% of the town. That's like the town plus turned out to vote. That makes no sense. That's right. It makes no sense. That's why there were investigations. I don't know who might or might not have gone to jail, but all I know is it matters. Then we had most recently in the 2022 election cycle, we had some new district lines that had been drawn for state legislative races. And we had several counties in which the registrars were still so archaically run using, you know, stubby pencils and paper maps on the wall that they could not tell where the lines were. And multiple people allegedly voted in the wrong districts. And some of those races were so incredibly close that that may have changed things. There were registrars who lost their jobs because of that. I'm not kidding. And that was just in the last couple of years. But here's the thing. I'm glad they lost their jobs. I mean, I'm sorry they did, but I'm glad they did. They needed to go. There was a level of incompetence, and that can't be. And so when you look at it, on the one hand, you can go, well, that's messed up. The other part of it is, y'all, we cleaned house on it, all right? We just did. By the way, Jenny from Decatur has texted and said, it's Uniontown. My daughter lives there. She said it's horrible, and her dead grandfather-in-law voted. Wow. Wow. That is messed up.
Either something wrong happened or I got news. Your dead grandfather is alive.
Yeah, and you might want to check. He's down the street living large. Oh, wow, Jenny, thanks. All right, listen, coming up next, Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Woo. It goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean down to that loveliest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the line to what we now recall Fort Benning. And then there's big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, somebody who's been on the show multiple times is somebody who I was proud to also serve with in the legislature. Secretary of State Wes Allen is a former probate judge, meaning that he was at one point the chief election officer for his county. He's now, after having served in the Alabama State House, he's serving as our Alabama Secretary of State, and literally making waves. He's even testified before Congress about matters that he has dealt with in terms of voter integrity, cleaning up the voter rolls, doing the things necessary. Among all the other stuff that secretaries of state do, he is the chief election officer for the state of Alabama, and he's on the phone right now. Secretary Wes Allen, how you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm good, Senator. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the growth of your show. Very, I tell you what, a lot of hard work, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir.
So, listen. I mean, I don't know where to start here, but we can do this. I know you saw the executive order signed last night by President Trump. You issued something about it this morning, I believe. Tell me how that impacts you at the state level, and what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, thanks. No, it was good to see what President Trump has done, what it looks like when you've got a president leading from the White House about election integrity. It's a true victory for election integrity. And, Phil, I tell you, what really helps us is when you've got the federal government wanting to help us and allow us access to these federal databases. If you recall, back in late 23 and multiple times after that, I asked the Biden Department of Homeland Security for their list of legal non-citizens, the list that they have for the state of Alabama, so I could run that against our statewide voter file and see if anybody slipped through the cracks and if anybody's registered to vote. Well, they stonewalled us and just basically told us no, and then so we charted a course and developed our own system and to try to make sure that we didn't have any non-citizens on our voter file. And, of course, you saw what happened there. The DOJ sued us and a private plaintiff sued us, and
right.
We had a great set of facts. We were on solid legal footing from the get-go on all of that. And then, of course, not too long ago, DOJ, the Trump DOJ, and decided, thankfully, to dismiss that case against us in Alabama, and
which never should have been filed.
No, absolutely. And then the private plaintiffs dismissed as well. And so we're very pleased, and we're going to continue. Listen, it's when votes are at stake, I'm going to always fight, just as I've done since taking the oath of office. I'm not going to stop working these voter lists. I mean, voter file maintenance is the foundation of election integrity, and I've been saying that wherever I go because that's where it all starts. And you've got to have robust, regular maintenance of your voter file. And if you don't, things can get off track in a hurry. And another thing that, President Trump's EO, does it, it obviously calls for robust voter file maintenance. Well, we've been doing that. It calls for photo ID. We've got that.
Yeah.
It calls for paper ballots. We've got it. Calls for, obviously our tabulators cannot be connected to the internet. We passed the law to make sure that's happening. Ballots cannot be collected or counted after Election Day. We don't count or collect ballots after Election Day. So we are already doing that.
We're kind of a role model in many ways.
We are. We're in a good shape. We're in good shape. This EO also goes after foreign funding from foreign nationals trying to influence our elections or ballot initiatives. Matter of fact, right now we've got a bill in the House that just got out of the House by Representative James Lomax that we have been pushing, and it's on to the Senate now, but it's going to ban it at the state level, and we are mirroring federal law with that as well, because we don't need foreign nationals influencing our elections. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of good things in this EO, and we're very pleased to see that.
How do you see the management of the portion that requires proof of citizenship? I remember back when we passed photo ID, it was the end of the world as we know it. It was racism. It was going to disenfranchise, lower income voters. It was going to be just the end of the constitutional right to vote in Alabama, none of which turned out to be true. But those same exact arguments are now being used to say you can't demand proof of citizenship. How do you see this playing out?
Well, they are doing the citizenship under federal election law, not
yes.
under. They didn't mention anything about state or local elections. They mentioned federal election law, And, you know, they talk about requiring documentary proof of citizenship through the Real ID compliant ID. You know, if you recall, that's one thing that our state is getting ready to implement fully on starting on May the 7th. So if anybody's listening out there, you know, if you want to fly in the United States and within the 50 states here, and make sure you have your Real ID. So that's one thing. But I think that's really good. Of course, the U.S. passport is another way. Military ID is another way, valid federal, state government issued photo identification for that indicates U.S. citizenship. So they're totally talking about federal election law and what is allowed already. They're not going out on a limb here. I think they're on solid legal footing.
Well, I think so. I think they are. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you've also been, I mean, your voter integrity database, that thing has grown. And I saw a press release that came out of your office when I was getting ready for the show today that y'all just added Texas to the voter integrity database. How big is that thing now? Are y'all nationwide? How many participating states do you have?
So we've got Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, Kentucky, Florida, Arkansas, of course, just added Texas. And I'll say that we, you know, these are bilateral agreements with these states.
Yeah.
So when we exchange data with Tennessee or we exchange data with Georgia or whoever it may be, we're working that on a bilateral agreement. And we've already verified and placed on a path for removal nearly 40,000 voters who've moved to surrounding states since 2024. And we've been working, like I said before, robust voter file maintenance. And with Texas, they've got 18 million registered voters.
Wow.
Of course, we've got a little over 3.7 million registered voters in our state. But we're continuing to grow that. We've got a couple more states that we are getting ready to add as well. So this thing continues to grow. And we're very, very proud of AVID and the Alabama Voter Integrity Database, of what we've been able to accomplish since September of 2023.
Well, I agree, and I think it's been huge. I mean, I really do. When I said it a minute ago, I wasn't kidding when I say that I feel like in many ways, even though we may not be as big as Texas or California, it doesn't matter in terms of the quality. And I think that the manner and the means by which Alabama elections are prepared and then run and then tabulated and then certified is really one of the models, in my opinion, for the way it should be in other states.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And thank goodness for the probate judges, circuit clerks, sheriffs, and boards of registrars. I mean, we're all a team, and it takes a team. And, of course, the legislature over the years have put good policy in place. And we're very, very proud of the system that we have in Alabama. And, you know, we're going to get up each and every day when we come into the Capitol, roll our sleeves up, and go to work. And, you know, we're very, very proud of the team that we've assembled inside this office because we all have the same mindset and same philosophy.
Well, just for a reminder to our audience, election season's coming for Alabama again already. And remind me, isn't it 1 year out from the primary that some of the races for statewide offices can begin doing their thing? I mean, we're going to see the governor's race coming up and everything else. And so this is not like it's something we have to wait till 2028 to get it fixed. We have elections that are right around the corner in Alabama now.
It is. First off, you got majority of the state of Alabama municipal races will be August 20th.
Oh, that's right.
5th or 26th. So, you know, 400 or so cities will be conducting elections. Then you've got, obviously, the May of 2026. We're almost a year out. We're coming up, bumping up on a year away from the primary in May of 2026. So you can't wait until right before the election to you know, take care of your voter file. You got to be constantly, day in and day out. It's like daily hygiene, Phil. You got to take a shower every day, wash your hair every day, brush your teeth. The same thing with voter file maintenance, right? So we're very, very proud of what we've been able to do.
So squeaky clean, that's what we're calling it. It's squeaky clean.
We're trying to. Heck yeah, man. We want to be the best.
Oh,
no doubt.
That's good. Well, listen, with everything going on, I gotta ask, do you see any states, I mean, like right now I'm already imagining and I'm hearing Democrats in general are bucking the executive order that was signed last night. But are there any states, Secretary of States, who, and I know we have Democrat and liberal progressive Secretaries of State as surely as we have conservative like you, but do we have other states that are going to fight this and be determined to go on the record as not wanting voter integrity?
Well, a lot of this stuff is just common sense and it's lawful. And, you know, only American citizens should be voting in our elections, period. And from day one when I stepped in this office, that's what we've been working towards. It's hard to say what other states are going to be doing, but it's for Alabama. And our team here in this office and all the local officials that I work with day in and day out, you know, we are working to make Alabama the best elections process that we can possibly have.
Well, and I think we're doing it. Like I said, we're the model. And listen, mm-hmm. Mr. Secretary, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for being available today. In fact, when I texted you yesterday and asked if you could come on, I didn't even know we were going to have the executive order last night. So that I found that out this morning when I got up, got ready for the show.
Well, appreciate you. No, thank you so much for the invitation.
Always
a pleasure.
Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen, appreciate your time. We'll have you on again sometime soon. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, listen, you do, those, like you heard it, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, I think you said Mississippi, a number of states are participating in the voter integrity database that Alabama helped pioneer. And all this does is scrub the roster. It just says, hey, we've got a John Smith over here that says he just moved from Georgia. Georgia, did you take him off your rolls? And we just compare notes back and forth. That way, there's and you would be amazed how many people think it's okay to vote at home and then go to their new home and vote there too. It doesn't work like that. You're allowed one vote for one person. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. That's enough of that. But listen, election matters. We talked about them. And by the way, elections matter. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Don't forget, by the way, coming up top of the next hour, we'll go to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. I'm about to get some text messages, but I got to tell you just a couple more things to wrap this up. So voter fraud, voter integrity. Let me just end with this. There's a website, the Heritage Foundation has it. You can just type in Heritage Foundation Election Fraud Map, and you can go to any state, and you can see the convictions for people who have committed some form of election fraud. Alabama has 39 on record in the last, since the year 2000. It's amazing how many of those occurred in the year 2000. But I look at it, and there are some even as recent in the last couple of years. In fact, let me just remind you of a couple things. One of those was a former elected state legislator, a Republican. Remember him? David Cole in Huntsville, this listening area. David Cole in Huntsville was apparently convicted. Not apparently. He was convicted. He got a 3-year sentence, suspended, spent 60 days in jail, had to pay restitution of $52,000. What did he do? Well, he signed up to run for office, but he didn't live in the district. So he faked, he basically says that he leased a 5-foot by 5-foot walk-in closet in someone's home as a place to live in the district and then ran for office on that address. Didn't work. He's no longer in office. He spent time in jail. That's called fraud. But how about this one? So Trump issues his executive order last night requiring citizenship. Oh, is that really a problem? How about Angelica Maria Francisco, last year in Alabama, charged by federal authorities in Alabama with 9 criminal counts of fraudulently assuming the identity of a U.S. citizen, used the citizen's name, date of birth, social security number to illegally obtain a passport, and then, oh, by the way, used the false identity to register to vote in Alabama. Was she an illegal alien? Yes. Did she vote? Yes, in 2016 and in 2020. She was charged with 1 count of false statements, 1 count of aggravated identity theft, and 5 counts of use of a passport for false statements, and 2 counts of false claims to register to vote. She pled guilty on all counts. And yeah, that's an illegal alien voting in Alabama with a false identity. And oh, by the way, she didn't just try to, she did it. And she's been convicted. So that executive order was needed. And when you consider that that happened in Alabama last year, and she voted in 2016 and 2020, I can just tell you right now, I don't care who she voted for. She shouldn't have voted. It doesn't matter to me whether she cast a vote for a Republican. I don't care. She shouldn't have voted. And we have now tens of millions of illegal aliens, thank you, President Biden, who flooded our borders. How many of them will try to do what Angelica Maria Francisco did in the state of Alabama? In some states, all it takes is a few, and it can swing things one way or the other.
So I know you talked about this with Secretary Allen, but so this executive order requiring, you know, voter ID for elections, that was part of it, right?
Yeah.
That, like, states like California can't just decide not to follow that, right? Like, it's a federal executive order. Like, I know with other stuff, there's like, oh, well, state law says this, but am I correct in saying, like, California, like, states like California can't just be like, ah, nah, we're not going to follow that? Like, they have to follow it.
Some will try. I guarantee you, California and Illinois and New York will try not to follow it. But the interesting thing is he included the Real ID Act, the Star ID you have to get, because it was passed by Congress. So as much as we hate that thing, Trump is now able to use it for election integrity as an act of Congress, which already exists. All he's doing is saying it must apply to elections. Mm-hmm. If you can apply it to getting a plane ticket, surely you can apply it to getting a registration to vote.
Yeah. And I expect them to fight it, but it's not going to be one of those things where they just choose to ignore it. Like, they're going to have to either fight it or, you know, comply, pretty much, I think.
That's and or lose funding.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Junebug from Hartsville checking in. Hey, Junebug. She says, thanks for introducing us to the great leaders in our state. Integrity and intelligence seems to be two words to accurately describe Wes Allen. I'd like to thank him for the outstanding job he's doing to keep our elections honest and fair. Perfect. Gary from Lester, Alabama says, no one else I know. Oh, wait, back up. What did he say there before that? He's got several texts. Treasonous, and then he says this. Voter registration. I have a question for the secretary, I guess. He says, I have a voter registration form for the state of Alabama addressed to me where I live. I have no clue what it's about. I've been registered and have voted with no issues. The form asks for much more than a normal registration card. I did not return it. No one else I know has received one. It's very suspicious. Well, listen, brother, if you think you've got, listen, you can call the Secretary of State's office. You can ask them, did you mail this to me? There are a lot of scams out there right now. By the way, one of the latest scams we got at our house is you haven't paid a outstanding toll when you pass the toll road. What? You get one of those too?
I've gotten several of those.
It's all a scam.
As a matter of fact, I actually got a spam call. Sometimes I like to have fun and answer the spam calls. I answered the spam call, and it was this guy who sounded like he was calling from India, saying he was a Border Patrol officer calling from the southern border.
So Habib wanted to get you, huh?
He said his name was Bob, obviously, or something.
Bob.
He said, I'm calling from the Southern Patrol office, and yeah, I just hung up. But I was like, come on. You got to do better than that.
Good Lord.
Have something more convincing than that.
All right, man. We're taking a break. We're coming right back with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.